This is Twit.
So big news this week was the ransomware attack, the WannaCry, WannaCrypt, yep. WannaDo all the bad things. That was late last week. And then earlier this week, Brad Smith, who's chief legal officer of Microsoft, he posted a blog post basically saying, kind of blaming, well, not necessarily blaming, but saying, you know, this might not have happened if the NSA and other governments didn't stockpile basically crypto weapons. And he was saying this because a lot of people were blaming Microsoft. What do you think about people blaming Microsoft for the ransomware attack?
Well, I mean, first of all, that's rather hilarious. I mean, there's an unfortunate side effect to this because Microsoft actually fixed the vulnerability that makes this ransomware attack possible over 2 months ago. And the issue we've always had in the Windows world is that not everybody, especially in business, updates their computers right away. And this is one of the reasons that Microsoft with Windows 10 has moved to this new model, which they call Windows as a Service, where they pretend that Windows is an online service where it's evergreen and kept up to date all the time. And they deliver those updates automatically to users. So if you're in Windows 10 Home, for example, there's no way you can stop that. If you're on Windows 10 Pro, there's actually no way you can stop it if there are security updates for the most part. You can delay feature updates for some amount of time. So if everyone was on Windows 10, if everyone was following Microsoft's best practices advice for other systems, this attack would never have been possible. And blaming Microsoft is, you know, kind of interesting. In fact, retroactively, I think one of the neat things that they did, which was very unexpected, was to patch this on unsupported versions of Windows, like Windows XP, which is something they said they would never do. And I think that shows a certain seriousness about doing what they can do to fix the problem retroactively. But I know that a lot of the computers that were compromised were in the UK or in Europe or in, you know, various parts of the world. A lot of them seem to be in medical facilities like hospitals and so forth. And I don't know how this stuff works in the United States, let alone in other countries. But it seems to me that, you know, customers of these places, which are holding your most personal of data, should themselves be held to a much higher standard when it comes to data protection and security, keeping those systems up to date and so forth. A lot of those systems were running Windows XP still, which I find to be rather amazing. And then the only other thing I guess I'd say about this just off the top of my head is the Brad Smith stuff is very interesting. I think Microsoft has, over the past year or two, started to take a kind of a moral high ground when it comes to this sort of thing. They've made various calls for Digital Geneva Convention, for example, which is something he mentioned again, Brad Smith, that is, in the context of this release that they had this week. I don't know too much about this. I've been traveling, but my understanding is that since this was written, the NSA has actually come out publicly and said that they are not responsible for stealing the vulnerability, or stealing the exploit, I guess it would be, that triggered this. And so maybe this is a story that is still developing in some ways as well.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, Microsoft has sort of been, probably they're used to being blamed for these sorts of things. I mean, it's been going on forever, like phishing scams, you know, anything where, you know, you click that attachment, you gave away your credit card to Prince in, you know, wherever, because he said that he was going to give you $100 if you gave him $50, all those things. Microsoft has been blamed for that for a long time, when often it's user error.
Yeah, Microsoft is in a can't-win position, really, when it comes to anything like this. If you think about any of the issues people have had with Windows over the years, many of them were caused by third-party apps, by bad user behavior, whatever it might be. But ultimately, you know, as the maker of the platform, Microsoft is often held accountable for this. They've also had kind of a weird back-and-forth position when it comes to securing PCs as well. You know, this company tried to sell a product called OneCare many, many years ago, probably 15 years ago-ish, that was basically, you know, not that they would ever put it this way, but it's, you know, we ship this thing that's kind of buggy, and so we're going to now sell you this other thing that will fix the problem. You know, and I argued at that time that this just needs to be a basic part of the operating system. And it's interesting because if you flash forward to today, the capabilities that they introduced in OneCare back in that day are, in fact, built into Windows. That's what Windows Defender it is today. And some of the other technologies you see, like smart screen and so forth, that are just basic user or computer protection technologies. But they're still kind of doing it. You know, there are advanced security features that are only available to enterprises that pay an extra fee today. And so it's sort of like, in the automotive world, some of the safety features show up first in luxury cars. And so if you own a Mercedes or a Volvo or something, you were probably among the first to get, airbags, side airbags, various safety technologies. If you can afford to pay, you're always going to be really safe. And I think that this is one of the great equalizers in a sense. It shouldn't be just people who can't afford, to pay that are secure. And it's just kind of a weird issue that goes to both directions. But as far as the ransomware thing goes, I mean, I think Microsoft has done what they can do. And I think, like I said, by supporting it on Windows XP, they've kind of shown a real resolve to actually do what they can and not just take a stand and say, look, we told you what we were doing and we told you the right way to do things. I think that at least is a little bit of a warming there along those lines.
And I think, like you said, patching XP goes a long way to saying, like, hey, we care. We said we weren't going to do this. It is a very old operating system. So what do you say to people who say, I'm not going to update because it's going to break my system. It's going to break my company system. This won't work. That won't work. What's the argument there?
What's the opposite of a virtuous cycle? There's a strange relationship out in the world between IT in the case of enterprises and the businesses that they protect, and then Microsoft as the platform maker and Windows, and then the users, there's been a real micromanagement thing in IT, and they justify it in very logical ways. And they can point to things that have happened in the past. Some of these things are really old. We always talk about, Windows 2000 SP2 or whatever it was that was such a disaster, but that was, 2 million years ago. There were examples from last year where security patches went south and caused problems. I think that the risks of not updating a system in a timely manner outweigh, the risks of the benefits, I guess, of protecting systems in a timely manner outweigh the risks of I don't know how to say this. I think they're making a big mistake, I guess. So in other words, I don't know what the average mean time is between the date at which a security update is released and the time at which is deployed in a typical enterprise, but it typically is probably, it's more than 2 months, I think is what we just learned. And I think that's the problem. And so Microsoft is trying to strike a balance between the needs, or at least the wants, of these enterprises and then the needs of the wider ecosystem. Because when systems are not protected, that harms everyone. It's like another car analogy. It's sort of like an automotive analogy, the notion of like helmets or seatbelts or whatever. These things are designed to protect individuals. But by wearing these things, you're also protecting other people, because you will be more in control if there's a crash or whatever, and you might not harm other people. And that's the goal. And I think, one of the big problems with this type of issue, this type of event, is that it has a cascading effect across all of the other users. I was talking to Brad, who, I'd hope to have on the show here today, and he's unfortunately busy at the show we're at. But, one of the things we were discussing earlier, I guess it was yesterday, was this kind of notion of, delaying an update is fine, but it needs to be weeks, not months. And you need to be able to do the amount of testing that's required in that period of time, determine that it's safe, and then kind of move on. For consumers, I think there's a broader period of time where you might want to evaluate something major like the Windows 10 Creators Update, and maybe a couple of months might be okay. And that, of course, is a feature update, not a security update, but that will give you the amount of time you need to see in the real world whether there are any problems. And by the way, just on a kind of a side note, there are no major issues with the Creators Update. That's one of the things that we can kind of safely say at this point. So if you're a normal consumer, you might think about actually accepting that update when it comes down. Businesses are in that position when it comes to security updates. They have a certain leniency about when they can apply those updates. But I think because they have that ability, they're just pushing this stuff off too far. And I just think that's a huge mistake.